Okay, everybody, we're doing a remote podcast for Fear the Fincast this week. We're live in a secret location in downtown San Jose.
In a bunker.
In an underground bunker located walking distance from SAP Center, maybe.
May or may not have hotel in the name.
It may, but it also might not.
It may not.
And you might have to climb a ladder to get in and or out of the bunker. No, I don't know.
It's true.
Did you see the 10 Cloverfield Lane?
No, not yet. Need to.
Oh, you should see that. Yeah. So, but picture that bunker. That's what it's like.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where
John Goodman's hanging out.
John, John, we're podcasting. Get the hell out of here, John. Yeah. Ah, God. He's a sweet guy, but he just won't leave me the hell
just
alone.
I know you were in Monsters, Inc. Yeah, it's like Lebowski. You don't have to tell me every time.
Yeah, he's just got all these stories about Billy Crystal, and it's like, is he even alive still? Yeah. Like, who freaking cares?
I'm not a Clippers fan. Let's talk about another celebrity.
Moving on. My God. Jesus. Speaking of actual celebrities, we were just at a San Jose Barracuda game.
Yes.
And I guess we should say about actual sports franchises, right?
Yes.
Because the Barracuda are an actual sports franchise. So that's that was a Clippers dig. Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm playing to the crowd here.
Right.
They actually won this time. They lost last night to the Ontario Reign 3-2. They beat the Stockton Heat 2-0 behind a shutout from Mantas Armalis, despite his team's best efforts at times.
Yeah.
With the amount of penalties anyway. Yeah. The shot totals were actually pretty respectable. But the I'm going to look right now to see how many power plays were in this game. I'm going to say around a shit ton.
Set the over under at 9.5.
Okay.
I will take the over.
Okay.
I think there were over 9.5 penalties in this game.
Yeah, it was a lot. This was a day game after a night game, which you literally shouldn't be able to say about hockey ever. You shouldn't even be able to say it about baseball, but we do. That's normal. This is ridiculous that they played a game so soon after. But I thought that they played pretty well, all things considered. I mean, given that how good Stockton has been this year, that I thought Barracuda played pretty well. I've seen them now. I think this was my fourth Barracuda game. This was your first. What are your thoughts on what's left of the prospect pool in San Jose?
It was a very sloppy game, and I think part of that plays into, like you said, the day game after a night game.
Sure.
A lot of turnovers, a lot of odd man rushes. Both Barracuda goals, I think, were pretty fortunate in that regard. The second one was but this is a team, we've been talking about them, and to have it confirmed in person, this is a team with a lot of high-end skill, especially for the AHL. Two really nice goals today.
Jeff Plovs,
his goal was
gorgeous.
Knuckled past the goaltender, but the pass from Gaudreau was awesome.
And the celly was just...
Yeah, the celly was great. And then Rourke Chartier...
Oh, that was one of the best goals I've ever seen.
Yeah, in close, roofed it. We were on the two-goal end, so... And the Sharks really didn't play that much in their own end defensively, so I can't...
And we got to see both... Yeah, we got to see both of the goals right in front of us, which was great.
I can't really say or speak on Nikolai Goldobin's defensive game, because I just don't think he was used in that situation very much, but he looked good offensively. He pulled off a toe drag that is par for the course for him. Danny O'Regan looked good. It's amazing they have so many players up with the Sharks now. I mean, Mueller played today and was sent down, but Tim Heed's up, Ryan Carpenter's up with the Sharks for tonight as an extra body, Timo Meier, Kevin LeBanc, and even without those guys, the Barracuda are still a very good team. And there's still some very good prospects there that will probably be with the big club in San Jose sooner rather than later. So it was nice to see those guys. Good goaltending from Armalis. It seems like both goaltenders have played really well this year for the Barracuda, which very encouraging sign for the Sharks going forward if they can just keep up the revolving door of cheap backup goaltenders that have succeeded in the minor leagues. That's going to go a long way, especially as Martin Jones gets a new contract, I believe, in 2019.
Yep.
2018 he's up, or 2019?
The sooner one, 2018.
2018 he's up. So they're going to need that. And they look good. It was a fun game, fun atmosphere, some weird cheers going on.
The weird ultra
the
thing, is that what we're talking about also?
Earthquakes supporters section goes to these games, I guess, for off-season training.
Or whatever.
It's cool.
San Jose is such a weird place, man.
But it was a good game, good atmosphere. Fun to see that team in person. They've got a good amount of high end skill, and if you can and you're in San Jose, absolutely definitely recommend going to watch those guys to see the the future.
The Sharks of tomorrow, today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my Tony Stark impression. Yeah. Or Howard, I guess. That was terrible. Yeah, that's the third shutout of the season for Armalas also, which is,
wow.
I know, not too shabby. I don't know if the Cuda had three shutouts last year, which is a joke.
And Adele might have.
Yeah, it's I'm just making the funnies, guys.
Yes.
Here's some impressive shots on goal totals. Goldobin had four today. Sorensen had five. Colin Blackwell had three, and Danny O'Regan had four.
He looked good. Blackwell looked pretty good.
They got some dudes.
They've got some depth down the middle for sure. They've got some good center depth in the organization. Some guys that'll
where they do not have depth really is where they will not have depth in the future. It's going to be defense as some of these guys start to get called up and move through because they. It's really like they've got some of these higher guys, but they've got obviously Tim Heat is great, and I like Joachim Ryan, obviously, and even Mirko Mueller has obviously taken some steps forward. But after that, it is a huge, huge, huge drop off. I mean, like Michael Brodzinski is not good. Jacob Middleton is another guy. It's just not good. Dan Kelly is not good. Patrick McNally is not good.
Julius Bergman looked okay.
Yeah, he looked
He's
okay.
He's still very young.
Right. So that could be a guy, I guess I should say. I shouldn't, write him off or anything just yet. But that's, they don't have a whole lot of depth in that position as we kind of move forward past this kind of transition year where we've got some guys that are being called up and looking towards the expansion draft. Also, the total power plays for the Stockton Heat was 8.
Wow, just for the Heat.
Just for the Heat. There were 11 total power plays in the game.
Took the over.
So, the total shots on goal were Barracuda 27, Heat 19. So, it's a pretty good day for the Cuda.
Yeah.
All things considered. I'll take it. Especially when you're giving up 8 power plays, you only end up giving up 19 shots on goal. You're doing
second night of a back-to-back, and you go 8-for-8 on the penalty kill. That will pad your penalty kill stats.
You know what? It sure will. It sure will. So that should move the Barracuda, keep the Barracuda in second place. I know that they were pretty tied up against the Ontario Reign moving into the game yesterday. And they go by point percentage because teams don't play an even number of games in the Pacific Division. So yeah, I think that moves them to 645 in those point percentage, assuming the AHL has actually updated these numbers. And the Ontario Reign is 677, which is cool. I mean, last year we were talking about the team like barely scraping into the playoffs. Yeah. And that is not going to be the case this year. This team is a lock to make the playoffs.
Firmly in, and then depending on how it breaks with the Sharks, depending on who they get.
Who they get to have, really.
If the Sharks are bounced early, and you then have Meyer and LeBanc, this looks like, that's probably...
This is a team that, depending on who gets called up, who's with the team, this is a team that could make a run at a Calder.
That's fair. That's definitely fair to say. And, looking at but they got to get out of their own division. They do have some tough opponents in the division. The Reign and the Stockton Heat.
And Tucson has made a pretty good run here also. They're now 17, 9, and 4.
Okay.
And that's the Arizona affiliate. The best thing about the San Jose this year, it's really been their defense, though. They have given up the fewest goals against in the division. It's 78 through 31 games. In the AHL, that is like, otherworldly good. Yeah. That's an average of 2.51 goals against per game. That'd be good in the NHL, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, you would take that. So in the AHL, that is, and that's a combination of good goaltending, obviously, and like we said, great defense.
Yeah.
I was talking to Zach last night, who's obviously sees way more Barracuda games than either of us do.
Yes.
And one thing he was talking about that the Barracuda missed with Tim Heed, other than the offense, obviously, is his exit passes. And that we talk so much about his offensive game that we kind of don't get a chance to see him play defense because he gets the team out of the zone so quickly.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, something that we should also be thinking about even as we watch him, whether it's a game tonight. Not tonight, technically, because he won't play tonight, but we'll get to that later. Just moving forward.
It's interesting. I think that was an area where they maybe struggled a little bit at times. It seems like they carried the puck out of
a lot
of their own end more than breaking out of the zone. Whereas, I mean, his first pass has, from all reports, been pretty unbeaten. That's a good observation. I, in hindsight, definitely noticed that.
And I think it almost in a weird way helped them that they were on the penalty kill so much because they didn't have to carry it out. They were like, oh, sweet, we're just going to throw this sucker out of there. I mean, because Stockton struggled to enter the zone, they're like, oh, sweet, we can force a neutral zone turnover and we'll just chip it down to the other side of the ice. And now we've got the puck again and boom, here we are. We've got a possession.
I think there were a couple 4-on-4 moments, but I mean,
they were.
They were pretty much on the power play or the penalty kill for at least half a period and 10 minutes of a at least 10 minutes of a 60-minute game. That's a lot of time. So,
yep. So we've got the old Shark Arenas are going to be playing the Blues tonight in about 2.5 hours, probably 3 hours, I guess, really, when it actually puck drops. Sharks defense is actually going to be healthy-ish tonight.
First time since December 30th. Wow. Apparently, that's what a friend of the blog, Kevin Kurz, wrote this morning. Martin expects to play. Schlemko says he's good to go. That leaves Tim Heed as the seventh defenseman on the Sharks roster right now, because Mirko Mueller got sent down. Dylan DeMello obviously out for 8 weeks with a broken wrist. It's interesting that they, you know, because it seemed like as of a couple of days ago that they were, you know, pretty beat up on the blue line, and now it's really just DeMello and Heed can probably fill in that role pretty easily as the seventh defenseman. And you know, I'm imagining that, you know, especially when they're home, they'll send him down or call Mueller up depending on the matchup, depending on you know, who's more vital to the Barracudas games as well. So we got a decent look at Tim Heed in the last game against Calgary. I thought he looked good. He looked like a fit on an NHL blue line. I think he had a turnover on maybe his first shift where it was like, okay, you can tell he's a little nervous, but after that he was pretty steady.
And that one shot on goal he had was really good too. I liked where he took the shot from. I liked that it got all the way through, obviously. Yeah. And you definitely got the sense right away that, oh yeah, that's an NHL shot. And it's like different when you see it on NHL ice against NHL players. Like, oh yeah, that translates and you get it like right away.
No, he's got a great release and he's drawn a lot of comparisons to Brent Burns, obviously, for his background playing forward and then converting to defense in Sweden. They play differently. You know, he can't play the same way with his size that Burns can.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like the comparison's a little bit forced because all comparisons are forced.
Of course.
But if you want a quick and dirty comparison, it's like heavy shot, offensive defenseman. Yep. That's the easy one to
career
make.
Arc. That right, makes exactly. Sense. It's interesting. I mean, I wonder too, depending on. I mean, I wouldn't count on the Sharks six staying together for super long based on the injuries they've dealt with the last couple of weeks and really all season. You know, and depending on how Tim Heat does, they could have a decision to make on how they view their seventh defenseman if DeMello's out for the 8 weeks. Kind of almost like what we saw last year happen when, you know, Matt Tennyson was getting back into the lineup. He gets hurt same day the Sharks acquire Roman Polak, and then Tennyson never plays another game with the Sharks. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how that maneuvers. But yeah, I'm very excited to see the full complement of defensemen back, especially now that there's at least one injury up front, as Jonas Donskoy will not play tonight against the Blues with an upper body injury.
Yeah, my guess too is that they don't really have to carry a seventh defender, obviously, and put him in the press box.
Right.
I don't really think there's any reason to do that for that matter. I think that they're better off keeping Heat and Mueller down so they can at least play with the
Barracuda. At least when they're at home.
Right.
They're going
to
take one of them on road trips.
Right, obviously, and that makes sense. And I think they know they called up Ryan Carpenter to be the healthy body.
Yeah.
Be kind of interesting to see what they do, depending on how long Donskoy is out. Even if he's not out for very long, if it's only a one-game thing. You know, Haley and Wingles are both playing on the fourth line tonight. I really think that if they can move Wingles and send Haley down, or even just have Haley as the scratched guy, the extra body, if you have Donskoy in the lineup, a guy like Danny O'Regan feels like it's getting close to time to give him at least a longer look, an audition.
Yeah.
And I mean that in a way that, so put Haley in the press box, move Wingles, and have Haley be the guy that kind of cycles in, you know,
right,
every once in a while to give another guy a day off. Just because I feel like O'Regan has earned the opportunity.
He's playing well enough, and he looked very good. And I think, you know, he played a little bit of penalty kill that first time he was up with San Jose, but obviously DeBoer didn't trust him very much because he only played 5 minutes.
He looked pretty terrible in that game, I would say.
I think that
he was put in a very tough
first game nerves for sure, and
he was not put in position to succeed in the moments he was put on the ice either, I think it's also fair to say.
And you know, I wonder too, you know, Wingles has been in and out of the lineup. If this Donskoy absence is, you know, a little longer, does Carpenter get a look on the fourth line?
Which I also wouldn't have a problem.
He played very well with Michael Haley. Who else was that? Was it LeBanc on their line or in the year?
Yeah, right. It was, wasn't it? That was like a really weirdly good, effective line.
Very good fourth line. Carpenter and Haley definitely had some chemistry.
I think it would be weird to put LeBanc down there at this point, though. I wouldn't do that at all. But I mean, maybe Carlson will work. I don't know. It's worth a shot, right? Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem at all giving Carpenter a game time. I know we talked about it before. It's a guy that's another guy that has earned an opportunity.
Yeah, and he's plied his trade long enough. Wingles, you know, it'll be interesting to see him in the lineup tonight. He's definitely one guy I want to watch because he's still been in and out of the lineup, even with, you know, he got some games, and then
he has not earned a spot, that is for sure.
Yeah, he's been, you know, a 13th forward for much of the year, so we'll see if he can grab the blue by the horns, so to speak, tonight.
Exactly. And so after this, the Sharks are going to have a matinee game on Monday for Martin Luther King Day, which is kind of interesting. I always think it's interesting when the NHL insists on playing afternoon games on days when not anyone has the day off of work. Like, I understand that, like, schools have the day off and banks have the day off, but, like, I mean, I have work on, or theoretically would have work on Monday, and it's like, well, why?
Yeah, it's
interesting. Why do you do this?
The East Coast teams do it on Columbus Day.
It's like we don't do this. You know? Like,
I'm very curious to see what the attendance looks like.
Terrible.
It wasn't great when they played, even when they played an afternoon Black Friday.
Yeah. Game. Like, why? And why would it be?
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm excited to watch that game. Our first look at Winnipeg. Always love to watch Dustin Byfuglien. First chance to see Patrick Laine will be very...
I'm excited to see Laine. I hate playing against Dustin Byfuglien. I mean,
I hate playing against him.
I love watching him play against not the Sharks.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an injury waiting to happen. The dude is... I mean, like, he to me, is a guy that I think gets away with a lot of stuff in the ONHL.
Oh, yeah.
He's a dirty player.
Yeah, sneaky dirty.
He's not even that sneaky. Yeah. He's really not even that...
Maybe he gets away with it because, you know, he's... Even with the dirt, he's still very, very good.
Very good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Best dirty player in the NHL?
Him or Corey Perry, probably, right?
He's dirtier than Corey Perry.
You think so?
He's also not as good as Corey Perry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But it's different because there's the value based on position. Yeah, you're right.
He's still a top 10 defenseman.
Right, which is tough. Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who else do they play after the...
Well, then they go to LA, but then it gets a little more fun because they get to host Tampa, which is going to be fun.
Yes.
I love it when an Eastern team comes to town. Unfortunately, it's the second of a back-to-back, which stinks.
What day are they playing?
So they're at LA on Wednesday, home against Tampa on Thursday. And I hate that the NHL keeps making us do this against LA.
Yeah.
But then we get the Matt Nieto homecoming tour on Saturday.
Yes.
And then go to Colorado and then go to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And then home against Edmonton on the 26th.
So they've got some good amount.
These are going to be some fun games. Winnipeg is fun. LA is not really all that fun despite it being a rivalry game. Tampa will be fun.
Stamkos healthy yet for Tampa?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if he's 100% healthy. I thought he was still on the verge.
I mean,
Tampa's been terrible, though. I think
it'd be interesting. I don't know if he'll have traveled with the team. I will wonder if he's going to get... He probably not, because I'm sure most people have forgotten it. But if he was playing, I think there'd be a lot more intrigue about... Well, you know, we saw Toronto was reported. We saw Montreal made an overture. You know, the other team that was mentioned in a lot of reports in hindsight was that San Jose made a push on Steven Stamkos. And it'd be very interesting to hear, you know, what he has to say about that. Of course, you know, asking Doug Wilson about that is just... asking to get denied because he's not going to talk about players on another team, but some very reputable sources, including Elliot Friedman, reported that they thought the team that made a push for Steven Stamkos late was the San Jose Sharks. You know, they haven't needed him this year, but that
you could always
use Steven Stamkos.
I don't know. I wouldn't say no.
Very intriguing if that, you know, if they did pull that.
Now, that Tampa team's not really going anywhere right now. I think that Steven Stamkos wouldn't mind playing for the Sharks right now.
Probably not.
Yeah, good decision, buddy.
How different would their offseason have been? I mean, they don't sign Bodker. They probably don't sign Schlemko either, right?
You know, I think they'd probably be doing okay.
Yeah, yeah, I think they.
I mean, given their defensive depth and given the production that Bodker has had, I think they'd probably be all right.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. Probably be okay.
Yeah, I think they'd have been all right with Steven Stamkos.
Yeah. So yeah, this should be a pretty fun slate of games. I'm looking forward to them. These are a lot of fun teams, and which is good because we've just played a slate of pretty boring teams.
Yeah.
Calgary and Edmonton is fun, but like Detroit is like a gong show team, and Minnesota is whatever. Bruce Boudreau, who I think is a really good coach, does not necessarily play the most fun style of hockey in the whole history of the universe.
Yeah, he has in the past, but I think he
doesn't much, really have the horses.
He adapts to adapts to his talent very well.
Right, which is gonna, I think, give it 2 or 3 years, and Minnesota's going to be a legit hockey team again. Right now, they're just surviving with what they have, which I mean,
they're maximizing their talent.
And listen, I'm not criticizing at all. That's a compliment, very much so. It's just,
And Devin Dubnyk has been, I mean, wasn't great.
But he has been great. It's just one game.
It's just one game, but the way he's playing this year, if you get, what did he get, 4 goals on Devin Dubnyk in that game?
You should win, probably.
You should probably win the game.
Yeah, you probably should win.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe Martin Jones should play better in that game.
Yes, in that game, yeah.
And also this season, because he hasn't been that good this season.
Actually. Lately, yeah, I think. He's had some... but it's the same as last year. He's had stretches. Yep. He had stretches last... But I think that's just who he is as a goalie. And that's okay.
That's
how every goalie is.
Yes. Because that's how all players are. When we talk about streakiness, and this is, again, once we get a bigger break coming up, that's a post I'll do on. When we talk about streakiness, that's everyone, right? The difference between Steven Stamkos and, Tommy Wingles... It is streakiness, right?
Yeah.
Because Steven Stamkos scores a point a game.
Yeah.
And Tommy Wingo scores a point every 10 games.
Yeah.
That's streakiness by nature.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. And I think, I'm not worried about Martin Jones. Definitely worried about how much he is starting. I think there's...
I definitely am worried about that part of it, yes.
I think, he played the most games he's played in his career last year, and now he's going to be asked to play more.
More.
Just by the end of the regular season, if the pace holds. So we'll see. With this back to back, I mean, gotta think Aaron Dell gets one of those games, right?
Oh, absolutely.
He's got to get the Tampa game.
The Tampa game, yeah, definitely not the LA game, but he'll get the Tampa game, I think. I hope.
Or even give him the Winnipeg game. Like, if you're not going to give him the back to back, he's got to start one game this week.
Right.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Absolutely. So we've got a St. Louis Blues game to get to.
Yes.
All right. I think we covered it. Did we cover it?
Yeah, I think we did a good job.
Okay. All right. I give us out of a 0 to 20 to 80 scale, 69.
Nice.
It was nice. All right, guys. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday, I think. Thursday?
Thursday. Thursday morning, probably.
Thursday morning, probably.
Yeah.
Commitment.
Thursday or Friday. It depends.
It's going to be Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
Commitment that you can count on.
Yeah.
Fearthefin.com.
Yeah.
You can follow Marcus on Twitter at Marcus P. White. I'm on Twitter at Jake Sundstrom. We're both on Twitter occasionally at Fearthefin, but only when one of us makes the other one do it.
Yes.
That's just god-awful truth.
Yeah.
All right, cool, guys. We'll talk to you on Thursday or Friday, maybe, probably.
Yeah, one of those.
Who knows?